Thank you, Debbie. What a blessing. All right, take your Bibles, turn to that famous resurrection passage, as Tim put it. You know, all the Gospels and the resurrection in the Gospels, and of course, 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter talking about the resurrection and everything. And so I told Tim, I said, when he asked for the passage, I said, it's a famous resurrection passage. And Darren was listening. He was trying to guess, Matthew, Mark, Luke, I can honestly say I've never preached on Easter Sunday or on Easter at all about Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. So it is certainly not a passage well known for preaching about the resurrection, but I think you'll see why I chose this passage. We're talking about truth in the month of March, a time for truth. The theme for 2013 is such a time as this. And so March today is our last day to talk about a time for truth, and everything in March has been about truth, and we had a good time with that, and had many very good comments about that. But today I want to talk to you about resurrection truth. Last Sunday morning I talked about redemption truth, and today we're talking about resurrection truth. And you see here in this passage that it talks about truth, and it talks about the resurrection. And so that is why we are in this passage. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for the resurrection. Thank you that it is our hope. It is our reason that we can rejoice, we can praise you, we can have funeral services and get through it rejoicing rather than being discouraged. And we thank you so much for that truth of the Word of God and that you told us about the resurrection, told us how we could be saved and how we can live, and we can not only have life but have abundant life here on this earth. And so I pray that you'll help us to get it right today, to leave this place, every one of us knowing for sure that we're saved and knowing for sure that we have eternal life, the life provided because you died, you were buried, and you rose again. So please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you rightly divide the word of God, the word of truth, you're going to find out very, very quickly as you study the Bible and you start dividing the word of God. You take line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, as the scripture tells us to do, and you study the word, you're going to find out God tells us that there is eternal life. God tells us that we don't have to die and that be the end, and we don't have to die and go to hell. God tells us that there is a way to go to heaven. God calls that good news. He calls that the gospel, that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again. And so that is very, very clear in Scripture. And so God says, I want you to make sure you rightly divide the word of truth. I don't want you just taking this piece out of it and making up your own belief about that or taking that piece out of it. God says, I want you to take all of it and I want you to put it all together and rightly divide the word of truth so that you can understand the truth, so you can know the truth, so that we can know for sure what the truth is. And if you study the Bible, you'll find out that, for example, the truth of the resurrection, it's all over the Bible. I mean, it's all over the Word of God. And it is taught throughout the Word of God that that Jesus, he came, he died, he was buried, he rose again. The Old Testament looks forward to it. The New Testament tells us all about it and tells us how it applies to us. It's very, very clear in the Scripture. Very, very obvious. And so he says here in verse 16, he says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. And so he says, those things that are vain babblings, like I said, just pulling one verse out and trying to build some sort of doctrine over that. No. He says, take all of it. Take the line upon line, all of the word of God, all of the word of truth, and study it and rightly divide it. And then he says this. He says, in reference to Hymenaeus and Philetus and certainly many, many others, he says, who concerning the truth have erred? They've erred. They, concerning the Word of God, the truth, they've erred. What'd they do? Well, they maybe ignored the Word of God. Maybe they twisted the Word of God. I don't know, but they erred. And here's how they erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. In other words, it's not for you. It's not going to happen to you. It's already past, already done. It's already taken place. And notice what happens. It says, and overthrow the faith of some. Boy, I read that and that's a scary thought. Overthrow the faith. If there's not already enough bad stuff out there, these guys were messing with our good news. Remember, he died, he was buried, he rose again. Leave out the rose again and died and buried is not such good news. Amen. But he rose again. And the Bible says that these that didn't rightly divide the truth, no, these who the Bible says concerning the truth have erred. They erred because they said the resurrection, it's not for you. That's not going to happen to you. That's not something for you. It's already past. And the Bible says overthrow the faith of some. I've been thinking about Dave Underwood and praying for him, and I know his heart's broken, and you know Dave, and certainly it's a very, very difficult time for him. But then you read the obituary, and you know what he's talking about. How many funerals? How many times have I stood down here, right here at this altar, and the body is in the casket here? But we know where the person is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when the body's not twitching, the body's not moving, and nothing's happening, we got to figure they're absent. Amen. And God says, if you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. That's not bad. That's good. That's tough on the folks that are left behind, but it's sure good. You know, I was thinking about you know, how many funerals that I've preached, and so many, just a lot of funerals, but pretty much all the funerals I've preached, I've been able to say this person is not dead because he lives, they live. And praise the Lord for that. I got to thinking this morning about the whoever preached Lazarus' funeral. You know, you think about whoever preached Lazarus. He said, "Hey, Lazarus is alive. He's not dead. He's in heaven. He's with the Lord." And you know, and all those kind of things. Certainly thinking about that, and then they got to see the illustration. Amen. Because Jesus messed up every funeral he went to. You read your Bible, you'll find out every funeral Jesus goes to, a person didn't stay dead. And Jesus, you know, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus. And I in my mind, I think, I wonder if the preacher would have been there and kind of was watching that and said, that's what I preached. Hey, when we get to heaven, that's what we preached. Hey, there's grandpa, there's grandma, there's mom, there's dad, there's my best friend, there's that deacon, there's that, you know, and we're rejoicing and praising God. Why? Because he rose from the grave. It's up from the grave. He arose. And he's the victor over death. Glory to God. And so you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Because if you slip into error, you start believing stuff like resurrection's not for you. And I'll be honest with you, that would overthrow the faith of some. Wow. It would, wouldn't it? I mean, today, it you know, a little rain and clouds and kind of gloomy, and we're in our thinking, hey, wait, whoa, 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 Easter Sunday should be sunny, and it should be beautiful and bright, and well, you know what? It is here. It is here, because I'm thinking about resurrection. I'm thinking about Jesus coming. I'm thinking about how we're going to heaven, and we're going to be on streets of gold. I'm thinking about up from the grave, he arose. And but boy, take away the resurrection. You see, that's why we need to stay with the truth. That's why resurrection truth, it is the only truth. Concerning the truth, they erred. And because they erred, they passed it on to a whole bunch of other people. And then they stepped into error. And because of that, their faith was overthrown. They became, instead of victorious, they were defeated. Instead of rejoicing, they were weeping. Instead of, you know, we are more than conquerors, they felt like, hey, we are defeated. I suppose the greatest doctrine, the foundation of our Christianity. If Jesus isn't raised from the dead, then the Bible's not true. If Jesus isn't raised from the dead, then the church is just another club. If Jesus isn't raised from the dead, Christianity is a cult. I mean, understand, without the resurrection, there is no good news. Without the resurrection, Jesus died, he was buried, and that's it. Oh, the devil wants people to believe that. And there's all kinds of stuff out there and all kinds of writings out there. Oh, Jesus, he just died, he was buried. But you see, we have the truth. And the resurrection truth, if you will study to show yourself approved unto God. Again, God, I want to know the truth. I want the Bible truth. I don't want to hear what somebody else's opinion is. God, I want to know what the truth says. If we'll do that, we'll find the resurrection truth. You know, I'm afraid that we listen to too much in the world and too much out there that causes the faith to be overthrown somewhat, where instead of rejoicing today, where, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, another Easter. You know, oh, well, just, you know, Easter eggs and the rabbit laid an egg, and then you get really disappointed when that doesn't happen. And, oh, you know, and my Easter bonnet didn't fit, and you know, but the greatest doctrine, I mean, the foundation of our belief is based on Jesus came out of that tomb. He came out of that tomb. And Jesus said in John 2, verse 19, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Other times he claimed that he would give his life and he would then take it back. I mean, if the resurrection is true, though, if we can take the Word of God and we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt this is the truth and the resurrection is true, then you have to understand everything else is true. There is a heaven. There is a hell. I hear more and more today. People, you know, they say, well, you know, I guess when I die, I guess I'll just be gone. When I die, it'll just be over. That's it. I'll cease to exist. I'll not know anything. That certainly is not true. But what a miserable existence that would be. But how much more miserable to think that when you die, you're going to go to hell? How much more miserable to think you're going to burn for all eternity? Well, that is what the Bible says. If the resurrection is true, everything's true. And everything's true. The price is paid in full for our salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can be saved, and we can go to heaven, and we can go to a funeral, and when we know that person is saved, that person's testimony, they said, I'm saved, and we can rejoice that that person is in heaven, and that person is having a better time than we are here. Amen. Amen. You see, everything that he said is true. Everything the Bible says about the resurrection, it is true. He did die. He was buried. He rose again. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Many religions, cults, all that, the founders buried, but that's it. Jesus rose from the grave. Satan hates it. Men deny it. In Jesus' day, a group of people named the Sadducees, they denied the resurrection. And Satan hates it because it's the power of the early church. It needs to be the power of now's church. I'm fearful that many have followed after Hymenaeus and Philetus, and they followed this idea that, well, you know, we hear about this all the time, and I think we've gotten a little foggy on the resurrection, whereby we realize, hey, it is up from the grave. He arose. We are victorious because he's victorious. He conquered death. Death has no sting to you and I. Death cannot take control of us ever again. It cannot happen because he conquered it. And the whole thing is, I don't want my faith to be overthrown, so I'm going to stick to the truth. I'm going to stick to the truth. If you were to, and I didn't do this, I was going to do this, if you were to type in resurrection under Google, I promise you, you would probably read enough stuff that would discourage you. You would see mocking and you would see scorning about the resurrection. You would see people making fun of what we believe and what is a foundational truth of the Word of God. You would see what many who go soul winning hear often. You know, when you talk about, hey, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again? And they just look at you like, you got to be kidding. Nobody's ever done that. But that's the truth. It is the truth. And the devil hates it. Acts 4 verse 33 says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great power. And I'm afraid that because there's so much error, there's so much listening to the Hymenaeus and the Philetuses of the world, you know, that our faith is in question. Resurrection truth. Number one, I want you to see the resurrection prophecy. The resurrection prophecy. Something, the resurrection is not just an event that happened. The resurrection is something long before Jesus was even born. Psalm 16, verse 10 said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. I mean, it was prophecy. God talked about the resurrection before the birth of Jesus Christ ever took place. I mean, you understand the whole Bible, everything, you put it all together and you find that God had a plan. God had a plan to deal with the sins of mankind. God knew you and I would sin. God knew how we would respond when told, don't do this. God knew, and God already had it all taken care of. He had a plan. He had a plan to send his son to die on a cross and to be buried and to rise again. It's prophecy in the Word of God. But again, you have to study. You have to look. You have to take the whole Bible and realize the resurrection's true. Jesus said to the Pharisees who were seeking a sign, he said, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus told that he would die. He told that he would be 3 days and three nights. He told that. And he said, that's the sign. Many people in Jesus' day claimed deity, just as many do today. But only one rose from the grave. Skeptic one time said to a little girl, which Christ do you worship? She said, oh, it's easy. I worship the one who rose from the dead. Folks, you got to understand. Look at Matthew 16, 21. And there are so many verses we could look at today. Matthew 16, verse 21. I hope Easter is not just, you know, just another day. I hope it's not just another holiday. And I hope the doctrine of the resurrection is not just another teaching that, well, we might be wrong. You know, we're living in a day where everybody's kind of wimping out on what they used to believe. We're living in a day it gets picked at and picked at and picked at and picked at and rocks thrown at and rocks thrown at and cut down and put down and scorned and mocked. And finally, it's so sad. I'm watching people say, well, you know, I'm not so sure. You better be sure about the resurrection. You better make sure about the resurrection and make sure about your own soul and make sure you are saved and going to heaven. Because I got news for you. If there is no resurrection, there is no salvation, there is no heaven, there are no streets of gold, there is no, hey, grandma, hey, grandpa, hey, dad, hey, mom, there is none of that. And I promise you this, if there is no resurrection, I'm not preaching another funeral. I wouldn't go to another funeral. And I certainly wouldn't fake around like oh, I'm just so happy, and oh, they look so nice, and all that. Phooey on all that stuff if there's no resurrection. Amen. But if there is, I can look in every casket, and I can say, you know what? This isn't it. This isn't it. And you look in a casket, and it always amazes me how people, oh, they look so natural. Really? You've seen them like that often, huh? But the fact of the matter is, folks, you got to understand something. We're going to have a new body. Why? Because of the resurrection. Jesus, hey, you know, the grave clothes all stayed. Read your Bible. Grave clothes all just kind of went flat. Jesus passed through those. He passed through a door. And he still was able to stand on the seashore and eat fish. And so, hey, listen to me. I'm going to be able to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. Amen. It's a new body. Anyway, we got to get moving. Matthew 16, verse 21. This is good stuff. Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Now, you know, the disciples didn't like it. Peter didn't like it. He said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Don't mess with this truth. Don't mess with what I'm telling you, Peter. I don't care who you are. Don't mess with the truth. What do you suppose he'd say to Hymenaeus and Philetus? It wouldn't be good. You say, preacher, you didn't finish verse 21. Yeah, I know. He told him, he said, I must be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, you know, they what? Raised again the third day? They didn't like the fact he had to be killed, but it's almost like they didn't catch the fact that he's going to be raised again. You know why? Because they weren't sure that could happen. I'm afraid there's folks out here this morning in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church who you're not so sure that's really going to happen. Because if you were, you would tell your face it's going to happen. And if you were, you'd be able to rejoice that it's going to happen. And if we all were, it surely would inspire us to get busy for God. It just seems that way. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Prophecy. Resurrection prophecy. No man could know these things. And certainly there's many, many more. No man could know these things ahead of time. We can't. Have you ever watched them try to predict the weather? They think they're just when everybody thinks they're good at it, you know, they're not. I still love hearing them explain global warming. I just love it, you know. Last year at this time, it was in the 70s and 80s, most of March. I mean, we were having a great time. How about the fact it's going to snow a couple days from now? Isn't that wonderful? You know, and you know, all the scientists, well, you know, that's another reason there's global warming. It's too hot because there's global warming, and it's also too cold because of global warming. You say, that sounds really weird. It's beyond weird. But, you know, they can't predict anything. We can't, nothing. Listen to me. But prophecy, the truth, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Resurrection's true. Amen. It's true. Predicted, the prophecy. number one, resurrection prophecy. Number two, the resurrection proof. You know, you could go through, there's so much proof in the scripture about the resurrection. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm old, but I'm not that old. I wasn't there. I can tell you that. But guess what? You weren't either. Yeah, yeah. But the fact is, there's so much proof. You think about Jesus. He went on trial and he was mocked and he was beaten and he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. And the cat of nine tails, many times, 39 stripes would kill a man. 39 stripes often killed the victim. But Jesus was beaten 39 times. His body was ripped to shreds. He was pounded on by soldiers. He was beaten with rods. His beard was pulled out of his face. I mean, he was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. He was hung on the cross. He was killed on the cross. And the religious leaders knew his prediction. And his religious leaders knew that he had said, or all the religious leaders knew that he had said he would rise again. And they thought, sure, the disciples were going to steal his body. And there's scripture to prove it. Again, we could go back. And they said, make sure, you make sure his body is kept. And they assigned the keepers, the guards, to guard that tomb and to seal that tomb. They put the seal of the government on that tomb. Nobody could mess with that tomb. Not a human. Huh? I mean, the Roman seal, to break the Roman seal meant death. Honestly, come on, think about this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, hey, let's go steal the body. You know, let's go steal the body of Jesus. Now, again, keep that thought in your mind, because there are lots of Hymenaeus and Philetuses that are teaching that kind of stuff. Oh, he didn't rise. Come on, that can't happen. That's not true. They stole his body. Okay, now let's put on our brain. All right? The religious leaders, they knew Jesus said that, and they said, do not. They told, I promise you, they told the Roman government, do not let anybody break in and steal that body. And so they sealed it with a Roman seal. And then they had trained Roman soldiers guarding that tomb. Again, we're not, okay, let's think about of course, Jonathan, he would know about all these things. You know, let's talk about the Marines. Let's talk about the SEALs. Let's talk about locally. Let's talk about the SWAT team. You know, let's talk about some trained soldiers. I'm talking about some people that are trained to guard a tomb. Now, they're not worried about somebody coming out. They're guarding it so nobody can go in. Okay? Now, I'll be honest with you. 16 guards guarded Peter. How many do you suppose were guarding Jesus? Listen to me. I promise you, they were guarding that tomb. They were making sure nobody, not the... And so now, let's imagine Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's imagine, not Luke, but let's just imagine these disciples, right? Matthew, he's a fisherman, so he's probably pretty good size. He's going to go attack the guards to steal the body of Jesus. Trained Roman, I mean, that's like Tim deciding that he wants to wrestle Jonathan. You don't want to today? You're not too excited about that? All right. Or you know, we call in somebody that's a SWAT person, and Brother Elias Correa says, you know what, I'll take you on, buddy. Come on, I mean, plus he has his weapon, and you have your weapon, which is basically your tie. Amen. And his pen. Hiya! Come on, folks. Seriously, it is the most ridiculous thing to think. That the disciples, who are, you know, they're not soldiers. They're not trained. They're going to go in and steal the body of Jesus out of the tomb. Unbelievable. Now, here's the thing, okay? Jesus did come out of that tomb. So you have to say, okay, either man removed him, which is utterly ridiculous, or God raised him from the dead. By the way, he walked through a door later on. The truth of the matter is, he walked right through that tomb. Just walked through it. You said, no, the angel opened it. No, the angel, he was already gone long before that. The angel moved the stone so the people could see in. That's why the stone was rolled away, not to get Jesus out. Jesus walked right through it. Nobody could be found. So what'd they say? They said, well, his disciples stole him. Ridiculous, huh? Yeah. Resurrection proof. Again, it's all in the Bible. 500. Testimony of 500. Would that be enough? Do you think if we had a testimony of 500, somebody's on trial for something, there's 500 said, we saw this happen. You think that'd be enough? Seems like it would be enough to convict, wouldn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5. It says that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. There were people in Paul's day. There were people at this time that were still alive. They were talking about it. We saw him. Testimony. 500 people. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time, Paul says. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But he said, I saw him. All these people, all the testimony, all the folks that said, we saw him. If you ask an attorney, listen, a testimony of two or three witnesses could change the total outcome of a trial. Over 500 saw him alive, testified of it. We love our Constitution, signed by a group of men. No American doubts the signing of our Constitution, yet it was witnessed by a smaller group than 500. Amen. Well, I say we love our Constitution. Some don't love our Constitution. Anyway, that's a whole other message. Do you think if the disciples stole his body, and they actually broke in, and they got through the guards. You know, they were disciples who had secret identities as real tough guys. You know, they just had these, and so they stole his body. Do you think they would actually die for a lie? There's no way. There is no way. No way in this world. They would not give their lives for something they knew to be not true. What keeps them going in Acts? What keeps them going? The Bible in Hebrews talks about him being beaten and stoned and left for dead. And the Apostle Paul certainly was that. And tortured and all these things, persecuted. How in the world, how could they do that if they knew this was all a lie? They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They saw that he was alive. After they saw that he was dead. You know, often when someone we love dies, we have sorrow, of course, and many never get over it. But the disciples' lives were changed. You know, at first, look at him. They forsook him and fled. He's about to die. They forsook him and fled. Peter, I mean, he falls apart and curses God. I mean, he just can't handle it. And Jesus is crucified. And you know, he says, oh, I go fishing. You know, he's kind of given up. And all of them are kind of given up. But then they see him. And it changed their lives. Changed their lives. I mean, you know, when it's real, it changes your life. When it's real. So many proofs. The angels testify of it in the scripture. He is not here, for he is risen. The demons, which we can't trust demons, but even the demons that in Acts chapter 19, Jesus I know. They would say, Jesus I know, if he was dead. Yeah, some of the demons are better believers than a lot of believers are. Jewish man one time said to the preacher, Harry Rimmer, he said, what did Jesus do that no one else did? The preacher looked at him and he said, you know, 30,000 Jews were crucified. Name one other than Jesus. Why do we name the name of Jesus? Because Jesus is alive. That's why. He's alive. One time I've given this illustration before. I love this illustration. A man wrote to Dr. Curtis Hudson, who was the editor of The Sword of the Lord, and he wrote this letter. He said, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? He wrote back, dear so-and-so, he said, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails 39 times, nail him to a cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, put him in an airless tomb for 72 hours and see what happens. Amen. Resurrection proof. But again, you won't find it in secular writings, but you will find it here. Right here. Hymenaeus and Philetus, how did they err? Well, they erred because they turned away from the truth. The truth. That's how they erred. Number three is we see the resurrection purpose. Why? Well, in Romans 4, verse 25, he was raised for our justification. I talked about that last week. Raised for our justification. Not only not guilty, but just as if I were him. Just as if I were Christ, raised for our justification. I read a little while ago, Romans 1 and verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Declared, when he came up out of that tomb, declared to be the Son of God. What's the purpose? It assures our resurrection. John 14, 19, because I live, ye shall live also. He said, because I live. You say, yeah, preacher, it's not that important. Oh, it is very important. Because I live, ye shall live also. That's why I say this. I've said it at so many funerals. I probably say it at every funeral. We're not saying goodbye. We're saying, see you later. Amen. See you later. People have asked, you know, how did you preach your dad's funeral? How did you preach your mom's funeral? How did you preach your grandparents' funerals? I can't imagine anybody else doing it. But how do you do it? Because I'm going to see him again. And I know I'm going to see him again. Every now and then, people, you know, some there will be somebody that says, well, why are you so happy? Because it's not over. It's not over. I don't know about you. I've been thinking a lot about name and click. I told this story recently how I found out that my phone has this thing where you can see people's faces. What's it called? FaceTime. Yeah, that's it. And Sheila Click called us and it said FaceTime. And I thought, what in the world is that? And all of a sudden there I was, and there she was. I was up in a little corner and there she was. I said, whoa. You know, I'm looking for a satellite or one of those drones flying around looking at me. And then I realized what that little dot was on. I know. Some of you teenagers, boy, he's really not with it. He's not. But anyway, there she was. And so we went to Senior Saints and we got Sheila and she got to talk to everybody. And everybody's looking at each other's faces and it was all exciting. And everybody's, you know, all excited about that. And just thinking about, you know, Naaman sat right back there and he couldn't breathe. But he's breathing now. There's no struggle now. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, come on. Now, why? But preacher, how do you know? Because he lives. We live. I mean, it's the purpose, the resurrection purpose. It completes the gospel. He died. Praise God, he died. The song, it is finished. It is finished. Loud, as the choir sang, loud, it is finished. Loud, he cries. Praise God. The price was paid. But it means nothing if he remains in the tomb. He died. He was buried. He rose again. That's good news. That's good news. And you know, when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. The resurrection to me is the Father saying, amen. 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 He bore our sin. He bore your sin. He bore my sin. There's all these proofs of his death, his burial, his resurrection. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you know what needs to happen is we need to believe it. We need to believe it. We've seen the resurrection prophecy. Number two, we saw the resurrection proof. Number three, the resurrection purpose. And I close with the resurrection power. Because honestly, you know, Christian, I read the paper. I sometimes listen to the news. And I hear all the junk. And it's, you know, there's plenty of that. But there's power in the resurrection. Acts chapter 4, 33. And I close with this. Acts 4. And verse 33. So good. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great power. What's that mean? That means You know, these disciples, these apostles are witnessing. They're telling everybody, hey, you don't understand. I saw him. I saw him beaten. I saw that he was hanging on that cross. I saw that he died. And I saw him put in that tomb. I saw him buried. But listen to me. That's not it. Because he rose from the grave. And I saw him. And with great power, they went all over preaching. And they were scattered. Why? Because of persecution that came. And their lives were taken from them. But they smiled in the Colosseum. They sang as lions came to tear their bodies to shreds. They rejoiced as gladiators cut them to shreds. You say, how could they? Well, because of the power of the resurrection. And death has no power over us anymore. I haven't reached a place where I just say, I just want to die. Because I enjoy living for God. But I'm not afraid to die. Well, why? Because of the resurrection. Amen. It honestly ought to thrill your soul this morning. It ought to thrill us so much that we would do like the apostles did and go tell everybody. Tell everybody. You know what? You don't have to die. Oh, your body's going to die. I told the shepherds a little while. I said, I'm feeling that every day. You know, the older you get, the more you feel it. It's dying. The old body, you know, it's going to die. But I'm not. I have everlasting life. I have eternal life. I'm going to be on streets of gold. I'm going to be going through gates of pearl. I'm going to be in a place where no one ever dies. I'm going to be in a place where my loved ones are going to be. I'm going to be in a place like that for all eternity with my Savior. And you know why he's there? Because up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. And so when Hymenaeus approaches you and says, you know, this resurrection thing, it's not really that important. When Philetus says, you know, there is no resurrection. There's not, it didn't really happen, or it's not going to happen. You're just going to, you know, when you die, you'll go to a nice, quiet little resting place out in the cemetery. So you just tell him, get lost. Because I have the truth. And the truth tells me that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. The resurrection truth. Let's bow our heads, please.